Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Smell that? It's a new episode of Fat Mascara, fresh and early in the morning. It's bright and early. We're recording special for you this morning.
I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
We're going to talk about our trip to the farm with Mary Kay.
Down on the farm.
And then a domestic goddess's new skincare line. Look, I'm trying to energize everybody.
I feel so energized.
Lastly, is your nail polish always chipping? I might have something to say about it. Jess might get grossed out, but we're going to talk about it nonetheless.
Anybody with me?
Who will we chat with this episode?
We are chatting with Elizabeth Musmano, the esteemed president of the Fragrance Foundation, to talk all things scented, the world of fragrance and parfum and toilette.
I just sniffed so loud, sorry. Tennessee. If you guys are following us on Instagram, as you should, at Fat Mascara, you might have noticed Jess and I went to the farm.
Down on the farm.
We did. We were on a press trip with Mary Kay, and I was thinking, do people understand what a press trip is? I'm not so sure.
I always feel like when I think press trip, I picture a bunch of suits in like the basement of like a Hyatt.
Yeah.
That's like a press conference, press junket.
Yeah, and they have like a name tag and a plastic thing around their neck.
Hi, I'm Jim.
And I'm Dan.
No, okay.
This is not like that.
Part of the job of being an editor, a lot of companies obviously want us to write about their products. That means sending us free products, sure. But when there's big launches, Jess and I and some of the other influencers and editors in the beauty world sometimes get invited along on these trips where they introduce you to the brand, they talk about new products, you get to meet experts.
It probably is the most amazing part of the job.
And just so you know, it's not just editors. Like all the Instagrammers and influencers do this too. When you see your little friends like in the South Pacific with Too Faced or, you know, whatever brand like Tarte, they're getting paid sometimes to go on those trips.
But we don't get paid.
We do not get paid.
Let's just be real clear about that.
Let's be clear. We also got a free trip to an awesome farm.
Right, but we're not getting like 10 G's,
which is what,
at least.
Yeah, which is what sometimes influencers get. So anyway, back to the farm trip.
Yeah.
It was with Mary Kay, which just has been doing really cool stuff. Like, I was so impressed with their domestic abuse agenda and their new products that are giving money to that cause, mm-hmm. which is great. But we got to meet some experts, too. What did you get out of the trip?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Mary Kay, I mean, I don't work for Mary Kay. Again, I'm not getting paid by Mary Kay, but I think a lot of people are surprised by what they're doing because they may have like an older image of the brand.
So more mature. Yeah, you picture like a lady with a pink Cadillac in the 60s.
Or like, remember Edward Scissorhands, that movie? Remember,
yes.
Diane Weiss' character?
Yes.
And she's like, you know, she has the little pillbox hat. I have a picture with a pillbox hat. Actually, I don't know if she's wearing one, but she's like touching Edward up. The very kind of like Susie Homemaker kind of.
Yeah, door-to-door sales.
Yeah,
lady.
Yeah, 1950s kind of look. But we watched this like cool video with this girl who's just like a normal girl who makes her like, I guess maybe extra income or her living.
Yeah, she's a social seller. Yeah. I mean, she's using Facebook and everything else to sell. Yeah. She's not like knocking on the door, Mary Kay lady.
She's like a 21st century girl boss, if you will.
Yes.
So, yeah, so that was kind of cool.
Did you get any good tips from all the experts we met?
One of the things that I really loved was Ashley Stryker, the hairstylist, who's one of the Stryker sisters who came on board to work with Mary Kay for the trip. She said to really get like great hair, again, this is a generalization, but to let your hair tech, like wash your hair and just like don't touch it as much as possible. That's really hard for me.
I looked over at you when she said that. And I was like, this is such a good tip if you can do it.
If you can do it. And I know it doesn't work for everyone. A lot of people, they want their hair a certain way. They want the perfect blowout. They want the, you know, their curls to go a certain way. Actually, for curls, I think that the lesson is don't touch as much as possible.
Yeah.
But I actually do find if I wash my hair and I let it air dry and I really don't touch it as much as possible, your natural texture for a lot of people is really how your hair looks the best.
Yeah.
And it takes like sometimes decades to figure that out. And that's when Ashley figured it out for herself. And I was like, preach. Like, that is a great tip.
She also said that about product application, because I was like, yeah, my natural texture looks great, but I still need a little product.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing something else she suggested, which is not to distribute with my fingers like raking, but squeezing the product in. So she like did this motion of like she would take sections and just sort
like
of press
squeeze
it down
in.
The
yeah.
lengths to get the product in. That was a good tip.
I think, yeah, because you're not like destroying the pattern of
right.
whatever you have
you're
going
just,
in
like,
your hair.
You're just mushing the product into the
yeah.
hair instead of raking it through.
Yeah.
And then one other thing I learned on
yeah,
the trip.
Yeah, what was good?
Wasn't a tip. It was a product that like where has this product been all my life? It was the Time-Wise lip primer. It's like a skinny lip
yeah,
balm
yeah, yeah.
that Mary Kay used to make. It went off the market. It's coming back May 16th. So I think it's probably like out any day now. I called it almost like a blur cream, but for lips.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a lip balm, but it has this powdery, silicone-y finish that just sort of like softens the look of your lips and moisturizes. And then all my matte colors were going on better and did not look like a you-know-what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're into liquid lipsticks, I think you have to get this. But even if you just like matte colors or any color, really, I think that was a good product.
Yeah. So we'll be sharing more from that trip in upcoming weeks.
But yeah, that was an amazing trip. It was like a treasure trove of tips and tricks.
But Tennessee.
When the pimp's in the crib, ma. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try
Jen.
To get at you.
Park
it
like it's hot. Yes, darling.
You know what this world is lacking?
A lot of things, actually. But beauty related? No, what?
A celebrity skincare line.
Right. Just we need another one of those for sure.
We
what
need,
do you got for
we
me?
We need more.
Yes.
We need more. But you know what I think that it's really lacking? A septuagenarian celebrity skincare line. Did I say that correctly?
If you're talking about somebody in their 70s doing a skincare line?
Yes!
Nice.
I said it right.
So who is it?
Martha Stewart.
Oh, wait. This makes perfect sense. Have you ever met her?
No.
I sat behind her at, I forget what event it was, and I remember looking at her and thinking, I was a younger beauty editor and thinking, oh, who's this new beauty editor? She looks great. Her skin looks great. Like, she's, like, just got a good look about her of, like, not too plumped up. You know how some more mature women in the beauty industry are getting really filled up looking?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She just looked naturally beautiful. And then she turned, I was like, she looks like Martha Stewart. And it was Martha Stewart, and she was in her 60s at the time, and her skin is amazing.
It should be. She's a billionaire.
I know, if you lived on like a farm upstate or wherever she is.
If you have that kind of leisure time and that kind of money.
Yeah. Make a skincare line.
I mean, at least take care of your own skin. She should look good.
So what do we think it's going to be? Like, I'm getting like Goop vibes, but like more mature, less expensive Goop vibes?
I want to see, yeah, it should
also,
be.
Also, why am I saying mature?
Because it's more flattering.
It's mature.
Yeah. I think, listen, we don't have the details. All we know is that she's announced it. It's going to be on QVC. And, you know, all we know is that it's good. She's also doing lots of other things. She's doing lots of other categories, beauty and fashion.
Do you think we could get her together with Laura Geller so Laura could give her some, like, QVC selling tips?
Girl, I don't think she needs any spelling tips.
I don't either, but couldn't that be, like, an amazing special episode of QVC, Laura?
That would be really good.
Ooh, you know what's even better?
What?
If Snoop Dogg goes on QVC with Martha, like their potluck dinner show! Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
I'll take a peek.
I think they get high and make fried chicken.
I think Martha, her whole thing, I think it's going to be tightly edited, very cheap. It's going to have inexpensive, some foodie ingredients, you know, like, or some more like from the garden, you know, like some lemongrass.
Perfect. Yes.
A little spritz with some, you know, rosemary tonic. Mm-hmm. And I'm just hoping she keeps it simple. But I just, again,
it's not going to be Cindy Crawford in the melon patch, like Dr. Sabat.
No, not overly sophisticated.
But in a good way. When you're confused about skincare, she's going to just give it to you simple, I feel like.
Yeah. But also, I have a hard time, like, I don't know. I have a hard time thinking, is she using this stuff?
Wait, we're getting Martha on the show. That's Martha calling. She's calling right now.
Oh, my God.
Okay. We're working on it, guys. Tell us if you want to hear from Martha. We do. Martha, if you're listening, we want to hear about the skincare line. Come on, Fat Mascara.
I want to wear mascara, polish my nails real bright.
So, Jess, as you know, this whole winter into the spring, I've been trying to have a manicure like a grown-up lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been going to get the gels.
Okay.
And everybody keeps saying to me, they destroy your nails, they destroy your nails.
Yeah,
and
I don't
think it's true. However, I've gotten to that point where I understand what people are talking about. I went, and I have the problem where, like, I sometimes pick them off, which I know creeps you out.
Ew, don't do that. Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, big deal. So whatever. They're thin underneath. I'll put the gel on top. The woman finally explained to me why it's so bad that you pick your nails. Not only are they thin, who cares? The gel won't stick anymore. So if you don't have enough nail left over, you will literally, every time you get a gel, it won't stay on your finger, which is like, it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy. So now, look at my fingers.
Yeah.
Chippy McChipster.
I don't think they look chipped.
You don't?
Because
So this is my thing for people who get gels. If you need a reason not to pick, it's not just because your nails weaken. It's because then the gel doesn't have anything to grab onto. But so I have to ask you, because I'm really going to take a break from the gels. How do you keep it on?
I just, I don't get gels because I just don't think they're good for your nails.
Well, I get why people say that.
Yeah. And I also, it is that you have to stick them under UV light, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really bad for you. Oh. And even just like, even if people are like, put sunscreen on your hands, you're still, the UV rays penetrate through your nail bed, and there's nothing you can do about that. So, like, I'm just all, I hate gel nails. I just freaking
hate
them.
A manicure that looks nice a lot of times.
Like, but I get the 5-day wear.
What's that?
What, like, brand? The OPI, like, Infinite Shine.
And does it really last?
It lasts for, like, I would say about 4. I'm really hard on my nails. So I get it lasts like 4 days.
Okay, OPI Infinite
and
Shine.
And it's an extra $5 in my salon. Or I just wear glitter nail polish, which I know isn't for everyone, but you can't tell when it chips. Or I just wear clear or like a tasteful nude, and you can't really tell when it chips. But I don't like the look of chipped polish. I think it looks kind
of that's
gross.
That's why,
you know?
I went to the gels in the first place.
There was an amazing article that I always like. I love, to me, this is like the, it's a very fluff article, and it's kind of, to me, it represents like a pre, like, New York Mag, The Cut kind of, you know, those kind of zeitgeisty...
A think piece.
Zeitgeisty think pieces that are now we, like, expect from places like The Cut or, you know, maybe even like a Refinery. It was in the Times 2008, and I looked it up because I always think about it as that kind of piece.
Tell me.
It's called "I Love What You Didn't Do to Your Chipped Nails," and we'll put it up on the website. And it's all about how chipped nails kind of became a thing, and some people were like, said that it looks lazy and crappy, and, you know, blah blah blah. And then some people, this is like when the iPhone and the BlackBerry were like kind of dueling.
Yeah.
We're saying that, like, this is just, like, an occupational hazard of being, like, a working woman, like, typing on your BlackBerry. And then some people are saying, like, no, it just shows this is, okay, this is so funny. Someone says, Now I think sometimes if you're busy with your day and you don't have time to get your nails done, it can add character. Just like these kind of like funny, non-consequential quotes.
If someone looks down at my hands and is like giving me the eyeball because I'm a beauty editor and I should have a nice manicure, I should be like, you know, I'm too busy changing the world and doing good to stop for a manicure.
Exactly. Like these kind of like...
It's all about the spin, huh?
Yeah. Oh, it's not easy when this is so funny. Carrie Diamond, who was a beauty director, and now she's no longer in the beauty industry, but she's sort of beauty industry adjacent. She's actually quoted in this article. She says, it's not easy on your nails when you're blackberrying all the time. But I love it. But
that's
like
dating it to a specific year. Yeah, that's so funny.
But it's like, it's true. It's like when I get a manicure, let's say on a Sunday, by like Thursday, like, girl, I don't have time to like go get my nails done when I'm like staying late and have an event and then have to like
do stuff. So you're telling me embrace the chip.
Embrace it, but I say get a color that hides it.
Or do some glitter.
Yeah, like I'm still old fashioned. Like I don't want to see like someone's gross chip nails.
All right, fine. So the gels are coming off. We're going to try glitter for May.
Guys, stop with the gels. You got to stop.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Here, Elizabeth Musmano, the president of the Fragrance Foundation and founder of the Musmano Group, a licensing and branding group. We are so happy to have you here, bright and early in the morning. I'm sorry to drag you out of bed.
I know, my goodness.
I'm not a morning person.
You guys work so early.
Listen, I'm not a morning person. You're not a morning person.
And on the other edge of Manhattan.
I'm energized.
Oh my God. Jen's like keeping us going.
Let's do
here.
This.
Oh, oh la la.
God. All right. What is, for those of us, we've mentioned the Fragrance Foundation a million times on this podcast.
Have you?
Yes.
Well, you've even gotten an award.
Yeah.
You got the Notable Award. Yes. So only about 10 people in the industry every year. We've only done it for 3 years. are seen as superstars that are rising quickly to the top of the industry. And Jessica Matlin, you were one of them. So that was a big deal.
Tell us what the Fragrance Foundation is.
Well, the Fragrance Foundation was founded in 1949. So you have to kind of flash back, you know, a few years after World War II. And it's been in existence for close to 70 years now. We're all about the beauty of fragrance, the people who work in the business, the
products.
You're
cheerleaders for the fragrance.
Cheerleaders. We're a networking group. We're an educational group. So, for instance, we do a lot of series that are similar to TED Talks.
Right.
We've had President Bill Clinton come in and speak. Stefan Sagmeister, who's a genius creative. Ken Robinson. John Dempsey from Estee Lauder. We're having Jean-Paul Le Gon, who's the global CEO of L'Oreal, later this fall, speak to us. And that's simply about executives sitting and learning from some of the great minds in our industry and outside of our industry. So we can kind of go back in the office the next day and say, how can I look at this problem in a different way? You know, as I always joke, we had Carol Stern from UNICEF come and speak. You know, if you can bring water to Africa in a time of need, you can probably work things out with your marketing manager. So, you know, we need to understand that if you can solve big problems, you can solve those other problems. And we could learn problem solution, organizational skills from some of these big successful thinkers. So that was the thinking behind that.
And when did you become involved with the Fragrance Foundation? When did you become president?
I became the president of the Fragrance Foundation in September of 2012. And I'm leaving in September of 2017. I've been running it for 5 years, in addition to running my own company.
It seems like a lot.
It is a lot. But I like to do a lot.
So what drew you to fragrance and what drew you to this whole world?
Well, I started my own branding and licensing and public relations company in 2010. And I was literally on the street one day and my cell phone rang. And a woman from Dior Beauty here in the United States was calling me. And just as for some background, I worked at Dior, but not in the beauty division at all. I was head of global communications at Dior Couture with John Galliano, based in Paris. So I lived in Paris and worked with John. So when I came back to the United States and started my own company, Terry Darland, who's still at Dior, called me and said, you know, we've been looking for a president to run the Fragrance Foundation. There have only been two before me, so I'm the third in those 70 years. And would you be interested? And I said, listen, I think I could bring a lot. I have access to the worlds of art, fashion, as well as beauty, because I grew up in the beauty industry. If you are willing to think about it in a different way, and I can bring some outside sizzle and agility and speed and not necessarily be tied only into an office, because the office is your phone these days, right? And it's all about networking, getting out and interacting, and collisions, as Tony Hsieh says, from Zappos, collisions with other people to learn and to find ideas, then let's talk. She said, let's talk. It's not what we were thinking, but the job's been open for 18 months. We can't find anybody. And maybe that should have been my first clue, that it was going to be a tough job. And it was. I interviewed with the executive board, and they told me they were almost done with it, that they had... We're thinking they were going to close it in 6 months if
close
I didn't
the
turn
Fragrance
up.
Foundation.
Yep. Yeah, they were going to close it. And I said, because, again, I had my own successful company, I thought, okay, well, I'm not risking anything. Yeah. Let's do it. And that challenge actually was great for me. Knowing I had this really small window to change I'm always energized, but it energized me even more and gave me real focus. And they also essentially gave me carte blanche. You know, the thing was so broken at that point in time, had lost its sparkle, that they said, you know, just do what you need to do. So I went in and just stripped it all down, hired, you know, I can't say it's just me that's done it, because I was in a position where I could hire the best creative that I know in the world. I've worked with most of them in all my jobs, whether it's at working with Calvin Klein, with Oscar De La Renta, with John Galliano, with Vera Wang. I've ran advertising and and most of the photo shoots. So I knew most creatives in the world. And we just thought about being fast and nimble and bringing, like I said, these outside people. Instead of having a marketing person tell me about how they launched their own fragrance when most of the people in the industry already knew, right? They'd been in Macy's. They'd been in Nordstrom's. They'd seen it. We don't need to hear about your product and your accolades and patting yourself on the back. That's boring. So I challenged myself to say, I want to go home at night. I don't want to get up any earlier and go to work. You know, I've got enough going on in my life. That if I was going to ask people to attend something, it better rock their world.
And by attend, you mean that award ceremony that a consumer might not know is going on until after the fact when they see a red carpet.
And I mean the TED Talks, anything right, we do. It. We roast right. someone. Every event we do, whether it's a consumer-facing event, whether it's the Oscars, that's a little bit less hard to get people to attend.
Yeah. You wouldn't have gotten into all of this, that trade side of it, if you didn't love perfume the way we do. What do you think is different about perfume? You mentioned the fashion connection, but then other parts of the industry than beauty, like skincare or color cosmetics. Like, what makes perfume unique?
I think fragrance. I'm going to say fragrance instead
sorry.
Of perfume, just yes. because perfume, for those listeners who may not know, there and people may want to understand this. There's eau de toilette, which has more water in it than a perfume. The perfume's the most expensive because it has
more alcohol.
More water and more alcohol. It has more, the perfume has more essential oils. And it's generally a much nicer way to wear the fragrance, but it's obviously much more expensive. My big tip is to wear body lotion. I love a body lotion, and I think it does.
You wear in lieu of?
I wear body lotion every single
fragrance?
Day,
I mean,
and that
perfume.
Can be just alone be your fragrance. And I love that it takes care of your skin.
Mm-hmm. So, what about fragrance then? Not just perfume or eau de toilette, like excites you or that you think is unique about it?
You know, I think a lot about. I think I've been impressed with people throughout my life that have worn fragrance, and I've noticed it. Mm. And I'll give you a couple of examples. One, I worked with Oscar de la Renta very closely, and I was 30 when I started traveling with him. And we would be on the road doing personal appearances in department stores for his fragrance where people lined up and signed their boxes. And it was grueling work. He was 65 at the time, I remember, because he had a 65th birthday when I was with him. And it was grueling work for a 30-year-old, let alone a 65-year-old. But I do remember very distinctly sitting beside him in planes, in cars, you know, at dinner after we did the PA, and the way he smelled. First of all, he was a very refined man, the way he dressed, the way he looked, the way he spoke. But the way he smelled was what really threw it over the top for me. He smelled so luscious and divine elegant.
Was it his own creation?
He wore his own fragrance, which I believe was called Pour Louis. I might have to do a fact check on that. But
we'll fact check it for you. We'll put it on the blog. So it's the fact
that... But it was insane.
His smell was...
Insane.
Distinct.
And it was just that level of care and personal grooming that made me think, and it may be an unfair way to think, but when someone smells good, I think they're more intelligent, they take care of themselves more, they probably have a more organized home. There are all these things like that I read into it, care about themselves, they're sexier in a way, whether it's a woman.
Were you wearing fragrance at that time?
Was I? Yeah.
Did you kind of fall in love with fragrance because of people like that?
I fell in love with fragrance, I think, the typical way because of my mother. Mm. She wore a fragrance called Je Reviens, which she got on her honeymoon. She married my dad, who was born in Belfast, and they went over to Ireland. And it's Je Reviens in French, and it's still being made, and it means I'll come back. Which is a wonderful name for a fragrance. But it's a real classic, almost like
Fraca. Makes you think of mom.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, she would keep, you know, that was on the vanity, and she would hold that very dear. So that was, you know, with the stopper, and that was for special evenings out with my dad. And, you know, it just, those are important moments.
Yeah. You bring up a good point, though, because we all have that memory of our mother and fragrance, but lately... Jess and I talk about this a lot. The younger customers sometimes don't have that like sentimentality about perfume that I think a lot of people that are maybe over 30 do. Have you found that challenging as being part of this trade group to like reach out to these younger customers? Why
yes,
do you think they're not?
I have one of those younger customers. I gave birth to one of those younger customers. Her name's Olivia Musmana.
And what does she say about fragrance?
She's 21.
And how do you reach out
and
to her?
I know exactly why they're not buying fragrance or not that interested in fragrance. Number one, it's a content-driven society now. If it cannot be seen or it's not social media ready, you know, for instance, it doesn't count anymore. So it's all about, that's why we're
like
seeing.
Like if it's not unicorn powder on Instagram with like a holographic glitter.
If I can't put it on my face. Makeup is.
You're right. It's invisible.
It's invisible. Makeup is thriving now. I think makeup globally is up 17%.
Like color cosmetics.
Color cosmetics, and that is a larger growth than any other product category around the world. So if you look at
the personal care or car industry,
homes, anything, makeup, color cosmetics is by far on fire. It is the most successful and growing the most, and that is because of Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat.
So that's the challenge.
I got to apply it and show it. You know, dry shampoo to stretch your nickel in a blowout.
Right,
it's happening. So where if I've got $100 to spend, or in Sephora's case, $200, because no matter what I go in, it's $200.
Yeah. There goes your paycheck.
You know, $190 of it's going on color.
But do you think that, like, this is something, I wonder if, like, maybe I'm being too optimistic, that this is something that is going to hit a wall, that everyone is just going to have so much makeup, and that this kind of, like, ridiculous, you know, must see it, must snap it, like, unicorn makeup trend is going to wear out, and then eventually someone's going to actually want something nice on their vanity and want something to wear?
I think they will still buy. I did a focus group with young women who have just been in the workforce for a year or two, and they all had fragrance. The majority of the fragrances that they had were designer brands. So they had the Dolce & Gabbana, the Chanel, the Dior, Yves Saint Laurent, Opium. They were first triggered by having entree, if you will, to this prestigious.
I can't get the shoes or the bag yet.
I can't get the shoes or the bag yet, but I can have a piece of the house and smell like it. So, and there was that benefit of the doubt that they gave those fragrances, not that they're not great, over a no-name brand fragrance.
Sure.
The reality is, there are a handful of fragrance houses, and they're all making the fragrances. So if you can go into Bath & Body Works and get a fragrance that's made by the same oil house as
Dior or Modern Muse
or what have you, and because they don't have a middleman, so for instance, it's oil house, then it's the manufacturer, then I sell it to the retailer. Theirs is manufactured straight to the retailer, right? They're producing in a vertical that they can actually put more oil in it because they have more margin. So those fragrances, whether you like the packaging or not, whether you like the environment, I won't say it's the most upscale, but it's certainly America, and the fragrances are good. And Victoria's Secret is the same.
Do you think that some of these brands, just staying on the same note, like, do you think the brands that are using social, like the fragrance brands that are trying to use social media, are actually doing better, or do you think that it's just kind of a fool's errand?
No, I don't think it's a fool's errand. I think everything's going to be social. I think I always say in the office almost daily, if it's not on my phone, it doesn't count anymore. And you know who's doing a good job is Charlotte Tilbury. And I know she's got makeup.
She's fragrance.
Yeah.
No, I know. That's what I was just about to say.
Oh, sorry.
I feel like we're an old married couple. her fragrance is spectacular.
Love.
I love her fragrance. It's one of my favorites. I've got to find out the fragrance house that did it. She sent me this wonderful bag of fragrance on Friday night, and I got to play with all the makeup. And the fragrance was in it. It's divine.
Are you wearing any of her makeup today? It looks good.
Yes, I'm wearing her makeup.
I'm wearing one of those beach sticks.
It's kind of like that. You put your finger in a pot. I'm wearing a little bit of her highlighter. She gave me a ton of stuff. Half of which my daughter's already claimed from Baltimore.
Whatever's in your eyes is really nice.
Thank you. I really like her makeup a lot.
Me too.
So she's very good on Instagram, and you know, came out of essentially, we know her. The industry knows her. The fashion industry knows her. I don't think every consumer has heard the name Charlotte Tilbury.
No.
It's irrelevant.
Well, every Fat Mascara listener has. Jess and I are big fans.
Are you? Yeah. See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I am too.
But
big
bring
fan.
Up, you bring up like the fact that she is part of the selling of that fragrance because people like her lifestyle and things. I wonder about like the celebrity fragrances too. It was a huge trend for a while in the beginning of, you know, the 2000s. There aren't as many now. What do you think is going on with that?
I think it's typical of any industry. You know, when there's a good movie that's, let's say, a Liam Neeson and Taken, right? Then there's a million movies with the same plot, the same idea. Then Kevin Costner, there's a lack of imagination in a lot of industries. We want to, oh, that's a success. Let's do that. Oh, my gosh. Now a guy does Get Out.
Everybody's going to follow that.
A racist horror story? Oh, my God. It's amazing. You know, whoever thought of this?
I love that you took Celebrity Sense to be about Liam Neeson and Taken and Get Out.
I can make anything about Liam Neeson.
It's a great analogy. But you're right. So are you saying we hit saturation point?
In me.
Like somebody sold a celebrity fragrance and then it was like everybody's doing one.
Everybody did it. It became a bore. Couldn't tell the difference between any of them. It also became a little pay for play feeling.
Yeah.
Another fruity floral, right? Yeah. Well, that's across the industry.
What is the obsession with fruity florals?
Well,
can you just break it down?
Same idea. Somebody had a huge, huge, huge success with the fruity floral and everybody else just started copying and doing fruity floral.
They're not very nice.
They're not very nice, but it's what it seems most Americans like or have purchased or they're familiar with. But my argument against that or in favor of being original is Victor and Rolf. If you look at Victor and
Rolf.
Flower Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Victor and Rolf, again, arguably designers that nobody's ever heard of outside of New York City, LA, Paris. They are, you know, I don't even know if their fashion house is still open. They've done a remarkable job in fragrance. They've been edgy. I mean, they've got a boys' fragrance, a men's fragrance. It's a grenade. You pull the pin.
Mm-hmm.
And then Flower Bomb for women. The names themselves. That takes guts because launching a fragrance is not like fashion. You can't have 60 different fabrics and done in bikinis and underwear and t-shirts and
haute couture.
You have one chance to launch globally. It's $50 million. You know, it's much bigger than a movie.
It's exactly like a movie. It's exactly like a movie.
Yeah.
Because you have all these people, like the marketing, the fashion,
I mean,
all that, and then you launch it, and then it could be it's a dud or it's not.
People will lose their jobs if it's a dud. Right? That's the reality.
Yeah.
So if I want to be safe, and I know fruity floral is generally what people want in America, which is a big market for, I mean, it's not the only market, obviously, I'm going to have to think twice about going edgy.
Right. Taking this movie analogy a little bit further, you mentioned the Oscars of perfume, which isn't really what it's called, but you're talking about the Fragrance Foundation Awards,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Fragrance Foundation.
Do we call it the Oscars of perfume?
We do.
Okay, let's do that.
So the Oscars people get very funny about their trademark.
I know.
TM, Oscars TM.
Hey, I'm out of here in a month,
okay,
so what do I care?
Okay, so we're still here. So
it's the Academy Award of Fragrance.
The biggest awards in fragrance.
Yeah.
It's the star-studded night, and everybody in the global industry is under one roof for that one and only night.
And, I mean, you have major stars. You know, I've been there year upon year, and Alec Baldwin is very often there.
Alec Baldwin's hosted the last 2 years. Dana Carvey hosted the 2 years
He's
before.
He's so funny. Oh, my God.
And Joel McHale is hosting this year. We have just a ton of stars.
Huge celebrities, like every supermodel.
Yep.
Can you tell me what that night is like, and can you give us some good moments that you've
had? Wait, when is it? It's coming up soon, right?
It's June 14th this year, Thursday night, at Lincoln Center in New York City. I can give you a few Alec Baldwin tales. because I sit right next to him backstage. So I kind of miss the show, ironically. I see it on a screen backstage. It's fun.
You're like the PricewaterhouseCoopers accountant guy in the background.
Heaven forbid. Oh,
no,
my
not
God.
This year. It's not happening.
Not this
Don't
year.
Worry.
La, la, la. I think they need me to run the Academy Awards.
I can assure you
that would never have happened under my watch.
Oh, my God. I just got, nauseous.
I would have killed.
So is he a piece of work?
You know what? He's as with anyone who makes it in life, they're extremely hard workers. So Alec is very involved every step along the way. And then backstage, he's thinking, he's working, he's very on point.
He probably practices saying those French names more than we do, too. I feel like we butcher perfume names on this podcast.
He asked me before he goes out. That's why he kind of bonded with me. I don't think he had a clue I was the president. He just would go out, say to the side person, how do you pronounce this? And then I'd go, and he'd go, you're helpful.
Fragrance is intimidating. I mean, it makes it seem less intimidating when he pronounces them so smoothly. But this is like almost when you order wine. Like when I'm in a perfume store, we were talking about this one fragrance, and we kept calling like exquisite. It was the Annie Goutal. So I was picturing I'm a regular person and I go to the store, I'm a little nervous to buy perfume. It's like a scary world, like wine. Like I don't know what I'm talking about. How do you make this industry less intimidating?
I 100% agree.
So how do you do that?
We need to be more like the wine industry. I mean, we've not come together as an industry to help explain what kind of fragrance this is. For instance, if you like fresh and fruity, if you like clean, if you like provocative, that's how you should be shopping for them in store. Right now, they're under brands.
Right.
It's very difficult to navigate. If you go into a Macy's, for instance, you've got to go to almost everybody's counter, and then they're trying to sell you other things.
Right.
You can only take so much.
Well, Sephora, I feel like, was trying to do that with their like fragrance IQ. But at the same time, like, do you think that there's something that feels like against the philosophy of fragrance to make it that easy?
No, but I don't.
I feel like I'm not saying
winemakers are happy if they're selling their products. Why wouldn't a perfumer be happy the more people are buying?
You're more worried about the luxuriousness of it?
Yeah, like do you think that there's something that feels like some retailers might not want to sell it that way because it may cheapen it may feel too Sephora. It may feel too consumer.
I think retailers are consumer. I mean, I think there are
too
few.
Mass.
I think they need to be more consumer focused, to be honest. But I think you're seeing that trend. Retailers are in big trouble right now. A week or two ago, we did something on the floor of Macy's Herald Square called the Scent Event. And it was a completely interactive, immersive experience, not about selling, but about going into these almost phone booths, 6 or 7 phone booth environments where an accord of fragrance wafted down on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could start identifying, okay, I hate that. Mm-hmm. I don't want vanilla and chocolate. I love this. And start identifying what it is that you like and turns you on.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you wanted, you could go and find a fragrance that had that element that fit in that family, because there are families of fragrances.
Sure.
So it does. There. Something is broken, and something needs to be fixed. It means the industry needs to come together to fix it, which is a tough row to hoe, to be honest.
I think there's something to
because we're all competitors, essentially.
Yeah, there is something to the interactivity. I want to talk about niche for a second.
I love niche.
Okay, I love that you love niche, but I'd love you to define it, because I talked to 7 different people and you got 7 different answers.
Well, I think niche is the other word for niche is indie.
Okay.
Right? And we define, at the Fragrance Foundation, we define indie as a privately owned fragrance that's distributed under 50 doors. So it hasn't exploded.
I love that there's a real definition.
There's a definition,
because nobody seems to have a definition.
I have a definition.
Thank
yes.
God.
You're not
Hallelujah.
Talking about Estee Lauder, the big company that owns 20 different fragrances.
No.
You're talking about an independently owned,
right.
small
so,
company.
Killian. By Killian.
Okay.
Killian was a niche indie player who is now turned into a big player. So he's no longer
bye bye
niche
Killian.
Or Indian. We all wish we were you,
Frederick
Killian.
Frederick Malle or Le Labo. They got bought out by bigger companies.
Right.
So we don't call them niche anymore?
Nope.
Okay.
They're not. They may be niche for Estee Lauder, but they're all 3 of those were purchased by Estee
who
Lauder. They're no longer niche.
Again, who are some of your favorite niche that are still niche?
I love Eric Butterball. The florist.
The florist. Yeah, EB. I think those fragrances, I have them in my office. I think they're divine. I think they're some of the nicest fragrance I've smelled in years. Wilhelm.
Oh, lovely.
I wear Dear Polly of theirs.
Wilhelm is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question for you. Do you feel like when people say niche, is there some kind of unifying style, or is there anything that you like that smells niche, or is it really literally just about distribution? And
I think it's about an individual having a vision, putting their money where their mouth is, financing it, or finding friends and family or a few investors to finance and executing their dream in the world of fragrance.
We have to ask you, too, you name some niche fragrances, but other fragrance products you use, because we ask everybody that comes on the podcast, like candles, home fragrance, what else do you love?
I'm a candle junkie.
Please share.
Sire Trudon. I'm president of the Fragrance Foundation. I can get anything I want, and I actually buy those candles. And they're extremely expensive.
I actually buy it. That means you really like
$450
it.
$450 at Bergdorf.
A $450 candle?
No, I get like three or four. I can't stop myself.
Oh, you buy three.
I can't
so they're like $100 candle.
Yeah, at least.
And what scent is the scent that we
should... I buy them all. They're all fabulous.
Okay, Sire Trudon.
Sire Trudon is amazing. Like? I'm a lover of the fragrance Clean.
Oh, yeah.
Which was launched years ago, but...
The original one.
The original.
There's like 20 now.
Yes, now there's 20, but I like Clean. I think smelling clean is very becoming.
It's like a laundry musk kind of skin smell, yeah. Because I know you're the president of the Fragrance Foundation, but what other beauty products do you like? And what could be next for you if you're not
Fragrance
Foundation?
I'm a beauty junkie. Are you kidding me?
So are you going to be president of PCPC or some other?
God, no.
Oh, what are you going to do next?
I'm starting my own stuff. I'm launching my own fragrance.
What is... You're going to launch your own fragrance?
Yes.
What can you tell us about it, if anything?
I'm giving you news.
Okay.
I'm going to launch a collection of 12 fragrances.
Okay. 12 12 at a time?
Because.
That seems like 12 times the headache.
It is.
Why are you doing it?
I'm doing it because of the positioning. I have to, because there's a story behind each one.
Have you been wanting to do this for a while?
Yes. I have ideas. One of the things that I'm never short on are ideas.
Tell us about the idea behind it.
So I'm launching 12 fragrances because I'm basing them on horoscopes.
Ooh. Nice.
It's called Scent Signs, the overarching brand.
Very clever.
And then under each, and they're gorgeous. I'm working with Roberté.
Okay.
Which is the Rolls Royce of these
fragrance
houses. They're known as the Rolls Royce. They're a small family-owned French firm who never sold their fields, so they have a lot of natural ingredients. Yeah. Not that others don't, but that's what they're known for, and you can only go to them. Other houses go to them to get some of these flowers that are and ingredients. So I feel that everyone knows. What's your sign?
Virgo.
What's your sign?
I'm a Libra.
So we all know our signs, but do you know, and you probably know the personality behind your sign.
Sure.
Kind of, even if you think it's just fun to know your sign and read your horoscope, you do feel it influences your person. I'm a Leo.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm Leo. I'm a leader. You know, it kind of feeds into who you think you are.
I just want to say Elizabeth came in a fur cape at 9 a.m.
I did.
So you are a Leo.
I'm a Leo. I just wish I had the mane of hair, which is, I got to get back to the beauty product because the hair is.
Okay.
There is a scent for every sign. And I'm going to develop a scent based, and I have already developed the scent for every single sign, and I'm going to sell it probably on a television, you know, like a QVC or HSN.
Oh, that's going to do really well.
Because it's a story. It's not a retail environment.
That's how you sell scent online.
I know.
Yeah. I was just thinking you were talking about this problem of how do you
dummy baby.
Like it's confusing if you like if you buy wine by food type, why wouldn't you buy fragrance by star sign? That sounds very cool.
And it gives you tons to talk about. I could talk
and
about
I could get, maybe
and I'll go back every month because obviously if your scent is that month, it's a great present.
Oh, yes,
it's going to be a gift box.
That's star sign. So
and your candle,
and I'll have a candle, and I'm also going to sell it with jewelry. So there'll be a necklace. Which will not be tchotchke, but it'll have a beautiful, you know, Swarovski 18-karat gold necklace, and then a book on your sign, and the fragrance. The bottle's terrific.
Wait, before we let you
I have another project, too. The other project's for drugstores, but I can't tell you too much about it. It's a massive, my own line.
Okay.
Elizabeth.
The only thing I can tell you about that is I've trademarked the name Good, and it's about being open to the good.
Someone didn't own that trademark already?
No.
That's amazing.
This is bananas.
And that's
you can't
be
just like drop all the stuff at the end. We need to have you come back.
Yeah, I've got a lot of companies going. Feel the good.
My company's going to be about being good, doing good.
Can you give us a tip on doing good and being good?
Yeah.
Well.
That's tougher.
No. I think I said it when I first came in. No secrets. No secrets in your life. I gave myself that promise. I've been married 32 years now. You can look on my phone. You can look on my emails. All right. My husband and I share an email.
That's so sweet.
And it's a way to, that makes you feel good. And of course, doing good for others makes you feel, I mean, it's sure. A reason to be alive, to be honest.
On this secrets note, before we let you go, other than perfume, we have to talk about favorite hair products and favorite makeup, because that's how every fat mascara guest gets out of the studio with spilling their secrets.
Okay. I know this isn't going to sound. Yeah. Oh, what I use in my hair. You know that I found the dry, I never was a dry shampoo person. I have very, very fine hair that does nothing. And I have like three hairs on my head. I'm a fine hair.
I feel like a cartoon baby.
It's no hair. Just three hairs. You know, I'm like the lunch lady, you know, that from the school cafeteria. The thing. So I found this big, sexy,
dry shampoo,
but not the spray kind.
Yeah.
It's a sprinkle.
The shaky kind. I know what you're talking about. We'll put a link on the blog.
You put it in your, and it's insane. It gives your hair grip and thickness, and it's unbelievable. And you put it in, I take a shower and I put it in after my hair is dry. Nothing to do with dirty hair and trying to cover it. It has to do with giving it some grip and volume. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make my hair look gray. You know how the sprinkle in it? And I'm dark haired. Mm-hmm. I adore this product. I buy it by the truckloads from Amazon.
What about skincare and makeup?
I put everything on my face at night. I put diaper rash cream.
Homeoplasmine?
I'll do Desitin.
You put Desitin on your face.
It's the best.
Huh.
Just because I'm so dry. If you think it'll take away a baby's diaper rash.
Yeah.
I love Bobbi Brown's. And I never thought I'd say that because I wasn't a huge fan of Bobbi Brown makeup. But I found a few products that are terrific. Bobbi Brown stick foundation is insanely good.
Okay.
I also believe in
it all over?
No. Don't use your foundation all over. Just on the little places. I like to stand back in the mirror and, like an artist palette, kind of look at the tone of your skin and just cover where you see your tone is different. If you look at a young person's face, you'll see their coloration is pretty uniform.
Yeah.
So I start back on the mirror. I do like a cream. I always do a cream. A cream
goes along with the dry skin.
This is the old Calvin Klein, but
God, that is OG.
Elizabeth, is from like 2002.
I launched this.
I know, it's a beautiful line. I wondered what happened to it, but I can't believe you still have the product. But
I still have a bunch of it, but I was there. And it smells great and it still works great. But that kind of bronzy,
like a bronzy cream blush,
is insanely wonderful. I, of course, mascara.
Okay.
I can just throw any mascara on, honestly.
Really?
To God.
You don't have a favorite?
No. Whatever's given to me for free.
Okay.
You know what? I do have a favorite. If I were to go to buy it, it's Kevin O'Quan's.
The volumizing one?
The one with the thinner, it's more of a gel. It peels off almost in the shower. Mm-hmm. I also always carry, so you do your makeup from a distance, then you look at it in a 20 times magnifying
mirror. Elizabeth just pulled a mirror the size of a CD, if anybody remembers those, out of
even
her purse.
Bigger. If you... You're in a cab with the light on. Yeah. I mean, with the light from the outside. Doing your makeup in the outside light.
Natural light.
Is the best.
Yeah.
But I also have a mirror at home, which I swear by is my favorite beauty product. It's 15 times lighted mirror. I mean, you see everything, but it's good. There's a place called Skin Laundry.
Yeah. You get the laser treatments?
I get the laser treatments. Huh. I haven't done it tons. It's a very light laser. It basically just zaps the dirt in your pores.
Okay.
So it cleans your skin. I don't take tons of care of my skin, but I do also believe in washing your face at night, but I'm not loyal to it. So honest to God, I know.
You don't wash your face at night?
No, I try to, but sometimes I don't. I've got to be honest.
I feel like this interview is like the most far-reaching.
Soap and water is the best, honestly. If you want to see a difference with soap and water, it will transform your skin.
I think we have to let you go collide with people because I want to get out in the world and just like run into
people. I feel
like
I just spilled all my secrets about my new company.
You really didn't. There's a lot more to see.
And that's why people come on podcasts because they want to
spill secrets.
Exactly. You've been a wonderful guest. Thank you so much for coming on.
We're very excited.
I love you guys. 9 in the morning. I know.
For you.
This is a lot.
It's time. It's time. No, you don't want me to sing. It's
okay.
Too early.
No, it's too early for that.
Okay. You know what it is? It's Raise a Wand.
It's Raise a Wand time. And here's the scoop.
Tell me.
I have the most Marie Antoinette Raise a Wand ever. So let's call this a fantasy Raise the Wand.
Let them eat.
Let them eat shampoo. Let them drink shampoo.
Let them have shampoo. What is it? What is it? What is it?
Okay, guys, this is not for the average person, so please don't be angry with me. I know this is outrageous. There's a brand called Rossano Ferretti. Do you know Rossano Ferretti? They have a number of salons across the world, like the most amazing, like the Four Seasons of salons, the beyond, whatever's beyond the Four Seasons of salons.
Six Senses.
The Six Senses uh-huh. of salon.
The Aman Resorts of salon.
I don't even know what that is, but
it's
if
fancy.
Someone wants to take me, that's great. the man, Rossano Ferretti, is like a super, super chic Italian hairstylist, and it's like the creme de la creme. I went once. It was life-changing. And he also has a line of
what
shampoos.
Is that?
I have a small shampoo and conditioner. I just finished the shampoo and conditioner, the kind of travel size,
yeah.
this week. It smells, this is color safe because I'm using all my color safe stuff. I'm treating my hair like it's cashmere because I have this new expensive dye job.
Rossano Ferretti Splendido.
Can you smell inside?
Color maintenance conditioner.
Smell inside the empty shampoo conditioner bottle. It smells like patchouli, but like expensive patchouli. But when I put it in my hair, it was like, it smelled like a fancy head shop.
This is like rich lady shampoo smell.
Even when I went to bed, my pillowcases smelled like expensive patchouli. Like because I went to sleep with like a wet head. It's $42, I believe, at netaporte.com for like a big one.
If you find $42 on the floor,
yeah,
as Jess likes to say.
Exactly. If you, you know, if there was an error in your paycheck, if grandma sent you a gift, if you sold something on Poshmark, which is my new obsession. Did you guys know about Poshmark? You can sell stuff from your closet. Go for it.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. It's their shampoo and conditioner. They have one for color treated hair, one for like softening. Go for it, Jen. What do you have this week?
It's funny you mentioned a $40 plus shampoo because I'm about to tell you about a anti-aging cream that's around the same amount of money. So people, you have choices. Do you know the brand Trilogy?
Yes.
Okay.
They're all about like rose hip stuff.
Yes. It's a New Zealand-based company with rose hip, which, by the way, is very different from roses. Rose hips, it doesn't even look like a rose. It grows in high mountains. It's a teeny tiny little seed husk thing that's super high in antioxidants. Also, if I had a dime for every person that comes to my office and says, it has the highest level of antioxidants in the natural world, then everybody can't be right.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on, but I'd be a millionaire. I'd spend it on Rossano Ferretti shampoo and Trilogy Rosapine Radiance Serum. It's a night serum, anti-aging night serum based with rosehip oil. And I put it on and I said, oh my God, is there silicone in this? You know how silicone gives a nice slip?
Yeah.
She goes, absolutely not. It's a completely sustainable, organic, natural. They found this coconut derivative that has like the slip of a silicone. So it goes in that nice, luxurious serum kind of way.
Yes.
But it's all natural. And it's, I think it's like a coconut byproduct mixed in with the rosapine and some algae and some rosehip oil. So like if you want an all natural anti-ager, I like Tata too, but like there's a $42 one. Go to Whole Foods. Trilogy Rosapine Radiance Serum.
Nice. Gonna try it.
Okay. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at Fat Mascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
Love it.
Perfect.
That was good.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.